Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way.
Oh, America, are you serious? It is showtime, baby. Here we go.
Welcome to the bigger show. You got the mayor in the building. TC, you with me?
Yes, I am.
All right. What's good? Yo, we got a good one tonight, man. It's going down. It's always a good one, but it's really, really going down. We got something really popping off at the 9 o'clock hour. What's going on, TC? How you feeling?
I'm doing good. You know, thanking God for the show, you know, allowing us to have the make this possible. And just chilling.
I'm chilling, maintaining my balance here, watching these Yankees going crazy right now. We got a little game and a half lead, you know what I mean? So we got a little breathing room right now. We're playing the Twins, so the game starts in about 5 minutes, so I'm going to be kind of like attention, you know, to my Yankees and all that. But before we get into the bigger show, man, just a little quick, you know, update, recap of what was going on over the weekend. I'm gonna set it off with the college football. A couple of top-ranked teams got beat. Clemson lost to Florida State, which was probably expected, you know what I mean? But
Clemson didn't
really show up like they were supposed to. And Oklahoma, they lost to Kansas State at home. So I don't know, you know, I don't know if my man Slate is listening or whatever, but he's a big OU fan. And you're going to have to explain that one to me, because usually if Oklahoma loses, it's going to be a tight game on the road. But they kind of got their, you know, heads handed to them by Kansas State. Now, I'm not saying that Kansas State is a slouch team, because they're a very, very good team. But nobody saw that one coming. You know,
West
we're going to get to
didn't
it.
Lose.
did you happen to watch the game last night?
Man, you know
Man.
What?
But before we get into that, give us a little quick update on your Eagles, because I know you can't wait to talk about the Eagles.
It ain't even an update. I don't know what's up with my boys. 12 turnovers in one game. Come on.
Yeah, 12 turnovers.
No. The offense. Offense is definitely not into the game.
Yeah.
All we got is defense playing. We don't have no offense.
Well,
you know, and until they get it together, this is what's going to happen. Like the two first games were luck. You know, but a W is a W, as I say. But come on, you got to beef it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm serious. My boys made me. I was so disappointed in them. I didn't even watch the whole game.
Right.
You know. But it's a lot of things. I want to text points on, too.
Mm-hmm. No disrespect to the Eagles, but I think Kevin Cobb was waiting for that, you know what I mean, the time to, get his freak on, and he did what he had to do or whatever, but, you know.
And he did it.
I think that you were saying in regards to the 12 turnovers, they had 12 turnovers in the three games that they played, because I think they had three turnovers in the game that was just played against Arizona. But still, it's turnovers is a turnover is a turnover.
Exactly.
But, I mean, all the highlights and the things that I was watching in the game, I just saw Michael Vick getting just ran through, man. In my opinion, I'm just going to say that situation is turning into a situation that they're familiar with, because they just had the same thing go on with Donovan McNabb. McNabb was the truth for a couple of seasons. Then, you know, he ran into a little injury situation, and then he fell off, and Kevin Cobb was waiting for him, but they dissed Kevin Cobb because they had a chance to get Michael Vick. So, I don't know. That seems like they're going through the same situation all over again with the Eagles.
Exactly.
But I just noticed that it was a lack of, fly high Eagles, and you can't mess with my Eagles. And, you know, people were mysteriously silent. I'm not going to say no names. Reddy Red, representing Trenton, New Jersey, and all that. I'm not going to say no names, TC. But,
I wasn't saying nada. I wasn't even online.
It's all good though, but a couple other things over the weekend. I just wanted to say in regards to the rankings, because we do, after further review, we do our college rankings on Mondays or Tuesdays. I got Alabama number one because nobody's touching them right now, but everybody else has LSU number two, and I don't see that. I got Oregon at number two, but I think Oregon will really put something on LSU because they're ready. They've been ready for the last 3 or 4 years, and. You know, regardless of the fact that they got, like, the flyest uniforms ever, you know what I mean? They switch up like Daffy Dan with the uniforms. Oregon is killing it with the uniforms. But they're a quality football team, and I think they deserve that number two ranking. I think they're number three in the polls, but after further review, and GPS has them ranked at number two in the nation. Not really too much went on besides the usual football, baseball stuff that was going on. But we want to get into the... Go ahead.
When it comes to college, West Virginia is my boys.
Okay, West Virginia. West Virginia is having a good season. I think they're still undefeated. But, they're having a pretty good season. But I think I had them ranked at eighth. If you go on after further review, I do my rankings every week. And I think I got West Virginia the seventh or eighth. But they're up there. But all of that is kind of like pushed to the back burner because of the situation that happened last night. In the Monday night game, Green Bay Packers at Seattle, very, very good football game, low scoring, a lot of defense, a lot of, good plays in the game. But we are going to forget all about that. Let's go to the end of the game where
that Hail Mary.
Russell Wilson throws the Hail Mary, and Golden Tate, who's the receiver for Seattle, he pushed Jennings in the back, who was a defensive player, pushed it, and that's offensive pass interference, first of all. Okay.
Right.
So the ball's still in the air. The guy Jennings for Green Bay makes the interception, but he's in the air. Okay, this is where the NFL gets the out. They kind of like wiggled out of another one because you know how the rule says, you know, they have to complete the catch and the feet have to be on the ground and all this old other stuff, right? So Golden Tate did what, receiver's supposed to do. He's going to fight for the ball. the referee. There's a referee 20 feet away, and there's the back judge is like maybe 40 feet away, but they're still closer than me and you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they couldn't get it right. So,
exactly.
I mean.
And they gave it to them.
Yeah, they gave it. They gave it to Seattle because I don't really understand what the referees are thinking about. Regardless of the fact that they're, they're replacement referees, but they're still supposed to uphold the integrity of the game. We had the same conversation last week.
That's
what I'm saying?
You come in with the jerk referee. Seriously,
right?
I mean, because a lot of things happen, and you're getting players that seriously getting injured over these calls.
Yeah.
And they're not calling the call like it should be called.
Right.
Not taken from the subject of what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Texans and the Broncos. Where your
Matt Schaub, he's not going to be able to wear an earring for a while unless he's going to get it up, on the top of his ear or something.
I'm the first time
I ever saw that.
Exactly.
We're in the building. GQ Power Sports is in the building, man. 646-200-3838. Give us a call, man. Talk about what you think about the referees. We're going to have this conversation again. So give us a call, 646-200-3838. Go ahead, finish your thought, T.
Okay, but is this dude going to be fined tremendously? That's not going to put that kid's,
that's
not going to put that chunk back in his earlobe.
Yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
What if he would have lost his hearing over this?
And they suspended him a game, so he's appealing it now. Joe Mays is the player's name for the Denver
Broncos.
And they fined him $50 large. So they hit his pockets. So I didn't really think that it was a bad hit. The outcome of the hit was worse than the hit itself, because it happens in the game, man. The fact of the matter that, I don't know how he, hit him and his ear came off.
I don't either.
I don't understand.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
A freak accident.
Yeah, they fined him $50,000 and suspending him a game. But back to these referees, man, I just feel like, it's kind of sort of like we don't really, We're not seeing what we're watching. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like that game last night. It was kind of like watching the Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley fight. Like, we all know that Pacquiao won the fight, but they gave it to Bradley. So we all know that the guy got the interception, but they gave the touchdown to Seattle. So, I mean, regardless of the fact that how many millions of dollars was, shifted hands on the betting and things of that nature, it's affecting everything.
Everything and everybody.
The NFL is really, really, stand fat. They're standing their ground like, we're not going to call the real referees back. They had a meeting with them today, okay?
Uh-huh.
And basically the issues are where the NFL and the referees are at an impasse is because the referees want a 21-man taxi squad. So basically what that means is they want 21 extra referees or backup referees to get the same benefits and numbers as the regular referees, and they're $3 million apart, $3 million. Now, we're talking about the NFL, which is a multi-billion dollar operation, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they're $3 million apart from the referees and settling this thing, and they just want to add some more players, some more referees, and they want to be protected. And I don't see anything wrong with that. It's not like a full-time job for them. When the season's over, they go back to their regular jobs, teachers or lawyers or doctors or whatever they do.
They are.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they just want to be able to have that same right and same situations as the players. They're not going to get the same money, but they still want to be able to be protected just the same. And Roger Goodell, he's got a lot on his plate, and it's not getting any better for him.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm going to put it out there that GQ Power Sports, after further review, we were the first ones. We were the first ones to talk up a situation about the NFL boycotting the NFL.
There you go.
I said it, and people were laughing at me, oh no, we're not gonna. Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right. Let it get to December and January. Okay, when the playoffs start, we're still with these referees in the building. We got our first caller in the building, DJ Diamond. Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's going on?
What's up there, Mayor?
Hey, what's happening?
Nutty Beat Studio in the house.
All right, what's going on?
Not too bad. Yeah, I just wanted to say we need to do something about these referees.
I agree.
It's just making the game just terrible.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know what to say. They need to find some money from somewhere and get the regular refs back. That's all I got to say about it.
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's becoming a situation where, okay, the first couple of weeks, you know, we could put up with the little mistakes that they make, because mistakes do happen, because that's the fallback. They're human, and mistakes happen, which is fine. We'll deal with that. But now when it starts to affect the outcome of a game that everybody sees it, and everybody knows what happened, so now they get down into the technicalities of the rule where your feet have to go. Well, and I'll give it to the NFL. I'll give it to him because he was in the air when he made the interception. So Golden Tate had a right to the ball, but Golden Tate also pushed the one of the defenders from Green Bay in the back. So it was offensive pass interference. A flag should have been thrown, and the game should have been over. Okay,
right.
But they let it play out. And I don't know what they were thinking about, and they just created their own monster, man. And I don't know. It's going to get deeper and deeper, because the NFL is not going to back up off this stand. So,
and speaking of refs, right,
mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts, the mayor and the Diamond, about the lingerie football league, the coaches?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I think that's a novelty. You know what I'm saying? It's good during, like, the, you know, to take people's mind off of real football or whatever.
Right.
I mean, but you know what? On the real, it's a situation that's going on. You know, in the lingerie football league, they do what they do, and we do what we do. You know what I mean?
That's where they need to be practicing, with the lingerie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're still in training.
They can't really practice there because they're getting fired. They're fired.
But you
got to
understand, though,
already.
in the lingerie league, that's kind of like arena football, where the field is only 50 yards. So, the sidelines are in bounds. So it's a whole different mindset. So kind of like
that's
if you want to get
that's
other
where the
referees,
minds of the refs are anyway.
On them women.
That's right.
Yeah. So I mean, what's the focus? Are you focusing on the game? Are you focusing on the game?
Anyway.
Or are you focusing on
the
big booties and other stuff?
On the women with
yeah,
their
so,
tails hanging out.
Right.
Because they're paying
right.
attention to the cheerleaders on the sideline. They're not making the calls that they need to be called.
Right. But I didn't see no lingerie in Seattle last night.
Watching the
I didn't see a piece of lingerie in Seattle last night. They still messed that call up. You know?
That's like Green Bay game. Green Bay game, that call that they made.
Right.
Green Bay and the Giants.
You're talking about when Bradshaw
Victor
went his knee was down? Victor Cruz. Which call was that?
I don't remember exactly what the call was.
Uh-huh.
But they did a push out of the way, and I think it was the Green Bay game. I don't know if it was Giant. It was Green Bay against somebody.
Right. That was Green Bay in Seattle last night. You
okay,
about
well, that, yeah, that push away, and then when they asked the guy from Seattle, so what happened, he's like, well, I didn't see nothing. I didn't push nobody.
Right.
But it shouldn't be up to them.
That's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
Right.
The referees are not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
Because they don't
have
experienced referees out there. They got a bunch of, you know, Division III and other league referees out there that really don't know what the hell is going on. And it's affecting a lot of people. And I think that, you know, once Vegas gets involved in it, they said they lost like $250 million switch hands. Okay?
That's
because
just
the spread was 3.5.
The week ago Redskins game where the boy pushed the guy upside the head, and then he ended up getting angry and throwing the football and blowing the game.
Oh, yeah. That was his fault. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have done that because, first of all, you let the referee make the call. You don't throw a football at somebody because the flag is going to go on you, and now the penalty is 15 yards and it backs you up. because he
exactly,
made the catch.
Exactly, but his anger, mm-hmm. his anger.
Oh, well, the referee don't have nothing to do with
conduct,
that.
But the
right.
referee should have saw him push him upside the head in the first place.
Well, I mean, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, right? Ain't that what you say?
There
you two
go.
Wrongs don't make a right.
There you go.
Granted, two wrongs don't make it right. Referee was paying attention to the boy that pushed him upside the head. He should have threw the flag then.
Well, he didn't. So here we are. Here we are talking about it again. You know what I'm saying? So,
sit again.
Oh, yeah. And most of all, give him a moment of silence to Torrey Smith with losing his brother, too.
Oh, yeah.
For the Ravens.
Right.
Yeah.
There's just too much going on. There's too much going on.
So, Diamond, what do you feel about...
Game.
What do you feel about some sort of a boycott against the NFL until, you know, they can rectify the situation? Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm up in the air about a boycott. Mm-hmm. It's the boycott. It's going to take money out of people's pockets.
But it's already taking money out of people's pockets.
Money out of people's pockets, but the players are still getting paid for playing the game.
Yeah,
even though they upset about, but they're still playing and they're getting paid to play.
But
they're
okay, so what happens when somebody gets hurt? And then what? What happens? That's what the issue is.
They're gonna get hurt regardless playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting hurt because the referees are not calling the calls properly.
Mm.
They get hurt because
I can't say that. I have to back off that one because a lot of the injuries are bad calls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the coaches are challenging it. They're losing the challenges because of bad calls.
Mm.
And you know, not just the team is seeing it. The whole it's nationwide is seeing this happen, but you know, hey, what do we do?
Mm.
Okay,
boycott.
So look at the percentage of calls with the fake referees, or I should say, the wannabe referees, versus when the regular season is in. How many people got hurt when the regular league is in? What's the percentage?
It's about the same.
How many people got hurt?
The point of the matter is. Would you trust your safety and health to a referee who's been doing it for 20 years, or would you trust your – because the point being is this. Say, for example, like you're saying in the Redskins and Rams game, okay? Now, say, for example, if you had the regular referees in the game, he probably would have saw the first push. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He probably would have saw the first push, which would have – you know, that would – then the other kid wouldn't have thrown the ball at him in anger, okay? So that I watched that game, the Redskins and the Rams, because they was getting ready to have a street fight. That was getting ready to get crazy. That game was getting ready to be really off the hook. So, I mean, that's the difference where you have the experienced referees versus the replacement guys that know what they're looking at and know what to look for. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's a difference. But, again, you know, you would rather trust your – like you said, you know, you will get hurt regardless because Darius Hayward Bay for the Raiders. They carted him off on a stretcher. You know what I mean? It was on a helmet-to-helmet hit. You know what I mean? So, it's all in the game. But, again, you have situations where if you have experienced referees out there, they can kind of like, you know, shut it down a little bit where it won't carry on to turn into a situation where, you know, oh, now we are brawling out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, it's a real situation out here, and I think that Roger Goodell, man, is really just kind of like, you know, you putting his power to not so good use because he could be the one to say, you know what, we're going to deal with this, we're going to get these referees out here, and we're going to put people's minds at ease because they don't know what is going to happen in any game from the next game. So, you know, if you go out here and you make a catch, you make an interception, next thing you know, they're giving the touchdown to the other team.
Exactly.
They're giving the other team a touchdown.
Exactly.
I'm like, what the hell is going on? So, and if you have those experienced referees, you know, at least you can say, well, you know, he's been doing it for God knows how long. The only thing that we're harping on in this subject matter right here is that the referees don't have experience. They're replacement. And these guys are kind of like in awe. They're like, oh, my goodness, there's Eli Manning. Oh, my goodness, there's Aaron Rodgers. You know, they're fans as well. So,
right.
You know, where do you draw the line at? You know what I'm saying?
Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. Guess what? Mm-hmm. These referees now are considering themselves experienced. They're getting
By doing two games?
Because they're not.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you got referees that they do college balls. A lot of them referees have, like, you know, college experience. They refereed in other, you know, minor leagues and things of that nature. But this is the NFL.
And that's a big difference.
And they don't even know the rules. You're fumbling, and the one team, Atlanta, fumbled the ball. Denver recovered. They gave it back to Atlanta. They don't know where to spot the ball. This is simple. This is the football one-on-one. Me and you could go out there and referee the game. It's football one-on-one.
Thank you.
And if you don't know football one-on-one, what are you doing out there?
They're getting football one-on-one experience right now.
They should have had football one-on-one experience when they was doing the other thing. It's too late for them to talk about that. They getting experience.
Thank you.
They should have been having experience. Look at the calls.
Right now. They're getting football one-on-one experience right now. So when after that game, guess what? Now they're at an experience rest.
Yeah.
No. It's going to take more than a game or two or a season, as far as I'm concerned, for them to be experienced NFL refs.
Right.
You know, like the mayor said, you know, you got some refs that's been out there 20-plus years.
Oh, I know. And then you got the
situation like with, you know, they running up on the, like the game Sunday night, the Patriots and the Ravens. You got Belichick, he running up and trying to, you know,
jab
the referee, like, what's going on? He wouldn't have ran up on Ed Hockley like that. Ed Hockley is one of the, you know, he go hard body. You know what I mean? He wouldn't have ran up on him like that. So they kind of like losing respect.
Because I'm
going to
tell you, the refs that's been there for years,
right?
They would have threw his butt out the game. He would have been out of there.
Yeah, I mean, not to say that, you know, Diamond, you're wrong, because you're definitely right, but I think that it would have been calmed down a little bit. It wouldn't have got to the extent that it's been getting to, you know what I mean? And I think it's just because that they're losing respect. They don't have respect going in. The first time they throw a flag, they're like, oh, my God, here we go again. So now it's like, what's offside? And everything under the sun is pass interference. Every deep ball is pass interference. Like, what is going on?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, you know, everybody, you know, they have your opinion and things of that nature. They are getting experience and things of that nature. But, you know, they should come into the games with experience, knowing that they're going to make the correct calls, knowing that,
right.
you know, that you know, their call is going to be final and it's going to be correct and it's going to be held down, you know. And yeah, last night, man, I mean, it doesn't get any worse than last night. It does not get
any
worse.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, you could have somebody actually going in on another because of the bets, the gambling,
mm-hmm,
you know,
of
a bad call.
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
was definitely a bad call.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, when you look at it, you know, even the team,
right.
you're looking at millions of dollars that they lost because of that one bad call.
Well, I mean, as far as the betting, I mean, this particular game right here, it was definitely a lot of money changed hands and changed back into hands again.
Thank you.
The spread was 3.5, you know what I mean? And it
right.
ended up that Seattle winning by 2. So that means that you gave the money. You had the, you know, the game is over. It was a Hail Mary pass. So I'm like, okay, here's your money. You won the game. You won the bet. Oh, no, you didn't win the bet. Give me my money back. Because the referee
right.
made a bad call.
Right, right.
So what do you?
So
you know, where's
you
the balance?
Conflict.
Yeah, where's the
conflict.
Balance? Right. We in the building. It's TC and the man. We got GQ Palace Sports in the building. 646-200-3838. Give us a call. Chop it up with us, man. We going in on these referees once again, and because that's the hot topic right now. And hopefully that it doesn't come to a situation where we're having a conversation about somebody getting hurt because of a bad referee's call. 646-200-3838 is the number. We still got Diamond on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to touch base on?
I'm good.
All right, no doubt. Appreciate you calling. Hold on if you still want to hold on with us. So what do you think that that would rectify this situation, because it's real serious. So what would be your suggestion? What would you tell Roger Goodell if you was, you know, had a chance to sit and talk to him and say, well, this is what I think needs to happen?
I don't have no suggestion.
Right, okay.
I tell you what, he needs to clean it up. I mean, immediately.
Right. You're gonna pay what the regular refs are asking for.
Give them that $3 million,
and
right?
Give it over.
And keep it moving,
get it
right?
Over with.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bring it, real
I mean,
guys.
Just like a player, you know, the refs deserve that money as well.
Yeah, and I mean,
you know,
again, it's
they
a,
could get hurt.
It's a multi-billion dollar situation they got going on.
There
you
go.
What's $3 million is not going to hurt them. $3 million is not going to hurt.
That $3 million is the money that is going to take to repair all of those people that already hurt.
Mm. Yeah. So I mean that's you know, and then the 21 man squad is just, you know, they just want extra backup referees that are experienced. You know what I mean? So I don't see where Roger Goodell, and plus he got a lot of other stuff on his plate. So I don't know if he wants to, if he's playing the Billy bad guy role where he's just exercising his authority because the you know, he's dealing with the Bounty Gate situation, you know, and that's going to be another lawsuit that's coming up, okay? Because I said way back when they first announced the Bounty Gate, they didn't have any evidence at all. So he just wants to go on, oh, what he heard, and they was trying to hurt Brett Favre. And all Brett Favre wanted to do was keep his name relevant. That's all he wants to do.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So where is your evidence at? Now it's 6 to 8 months after the fact. Now you got to, you know, you're eating crow now because now the people that the independent panel that you had to investigate this, they was on the player side. They said, you know what? Come back in the game. You're not suspended no more because they have no evidence. So Roger Goodell got to wipe that egg off his face. Now he's got to deal with these referees that he hired. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what's really going on? And then that's why I'm saying that, you know, you got to let them know that we're not really, you know, kind of like happy with what's going on. You know, it's the only way that you can hit him is in the pocketbook. And, again, like you said, you know, Diamond, you're not going to stop watching the games. I'm not going to stop watching the games. I ain't going to front. I'm still going to watch it.
Right.
You know, but the quality of it, you know, like, I won't make no bets. You know what I mean?
Right.
I won't bet no money on it, nothing like that. But, you know, it's like you still want to watch a good quality game. You know, you want to be like, okay, at least I know, you know, watching at home on TV, okay, yeah, that guy was out of bounds or that was offsides or that was pass interference or whatever. But the referee is telling you that what you're looking at is wrong. You're not seeing what you're seeing. Even though you know, you know, what offsides is or what pass interference is, they're telling you that is not it. That's not it.
And quiet as kept, they might have somebody betting on the refs to make the wrong call.
Hey,
and they make
all conspiracy theories count at this point in the game. All conspiracy theories count at this point in the game, man. You know, you can't, you know, put nothing past nobody at this point, you know. So, I mean, the only way that they, like you said, the only way that they get rectified is, you know, they, you know, Roger Goodell have to come to the table and be like, yo, he just got to bite the bullet. But this is really getting, it's going to get worse before it gets any better.
Yeah, and you know, when you really think about it, the mayor, with all of these injuries and things like that, you're going to end up paying out more money.
Right, right.
Whereas
right.
If you just go ahead and give them refs what they're asking for, you're going to have a downfall and a download of the injuries, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
The bad calls, the animosity, because a lot of these teams got a lot of animosity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can go out here and just hit and do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to make the call as they please.
Right, 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 right.
You know, and that's what a lot of them, that's the way that a lot of them are looking at it.
Mm-hmm. And
the NFL. And it's not a good look.
No, it's not. And the NFL is really kind of like culpable as well because they're not even, you know, they're the last word. And like I said earlier in the conversation, that they were looking for an out. And they got an out. They got an out
right.
on this one. You know, so they can
right.
kind of like justify, you know, their interpretation of the rule by saying it was, possession. Both of them had the ball at the same time. You know,
uh-huh.
But me and you looking at it, we're like, we see the Green Bay guy. He's got the ball. It's an interception.
He got the ball. Right.
It's an interception all day. But I'm not mad at Golden Tate for trying to play it off and reach his arm in there, and you know what I mean, and make it look like. But the referee is 10 feet away from the play.
And
what are you
and
doing?
And he's the only Seahawks player there.
Right.
Versus, what, 4 or 5 or more Green Bay Packer guys.
Right,
come on.
Right, right. And I just feel like, you know, it's gonna, and I hope it doesn't get, any better. I mean, any worse before it gets better. I just feel like, you know,
I see it getting worse.
Yeah, they have to step their game up as far as the refereeing. 646-200-3838 is the number. Press 1 if you want to get in on the conversation because it's popping. We're talking about these referees. 9 o'clock, we're going to jump into an interview, a special interview we got set up. So give us a call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 if you want to get in on the conversation because it's hot and, you know, we want to talk about it. We want to hear your opinion. You know what I mean? So, this
drop
weekend.
Out of here. Y'all take care.
All right. Take
Thanks
care, Diamond.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, so, we it's a lot of situations going on where you don't even know what you're looking at anymore, and I think that's a shame. And,
right.
You know, the NFL is taking people for granted, and they shouldn't really do that. You know what I mean? If they want to talk, they can't look nobody in the eye and say that that was a good call. They can't.
Exactly. You can't.
There's no way.
There's no way. No way.
So I just feel like, you know, they gotta they have a chance. It's week 3. They have a chance. And so, like you say for example, that they come to an agreement. The real referees and the NFL come to an agreement. It's going to be another week before you get the real referees on the field because they got to fit them for the uniforms.
Yep.
They got to get them physicals. They got to, do that little training on the new rules that
background.
They instituted from last year. You know what I'm saying? So they got to hurry up and do this because they're running out of time because it'll be October next week, right?
Then it turns into November.
Then it's
going to
be, the games are going to take that much more meaning. And you don't want to miss out in the playoffs because of a bad referee's call because then that's really going to mess it up. So what happens when we get to late December and January when the playoffs and
the
Super Bowl? I'm not watching the Super Bowl if they got replaced with referees. I'm putting it in the air right now. I'm not watching it. And I've been watching the Super Bowl ever since. My first Super Bowl I've been watching
it
was Super Bowl
seven. Five years.
And I wouldn't watch it. If they had to replace some referees, I'd have to hear about it on ESPN or read about it on the paper. I'm not watching.
Yeah, because it's not going to even be, it's not going to be fair, regardless.
Right. So, yeah. They're doing it to themselves. And, you know, we understand what the bottom line is. It's about money. It's always about money. You know what I mean? But, you know, players' health. You know, is really way more important than the dollar bill, y'all.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
the NFL
is still going to have millions and billions of people watching. Every stadium is going to be sold out. You know what I mean? So all the games, you know, they got that covered. So I mean, like for example, the Giants, they got a waiting list for season tickets like 25 years.
Right.
Years, not days. Years.
Right.
To get on there, you know, so you're not going to miss any money. And again, $3 million is a drop in the bucket compared to the money you know what I mean? So I don't know what Roger Goodell is thinking about.
Keep it moving. Give it to him and keep it moving. Or is this something that he wants to just have to make himself look big or whatever?
I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
You're being downgraded. Mm-hmm. And, you know, knocked off the books of what you really are.
But, again, like, we just said, you know, with DJ Diamond, shout out to DJ Diamond one more time for calling in. Thanks a lot. Again, you know, we're going to watch the games. So, he's not going to lose no sleep. You know, let him talk about it for a week and then it'll die down and blah, 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 blah. But no, it's not going down like that, Roger Goodell. We'll talk about it for a week until somebody else makes a bad call. And then we'll be starting talking about it all over again. So, I mean, you know, he's in a lose-lose situation. As long as this, you know, lockout of the referees is going on, he's in a lose-lose situation. So, and the only way he can make it better is just kind of come to, like, some amicable, agreement with the referees and say, I'll meet you halfway or something. You know what I mean?
Bring the real refs back.
Yeah, so, I mean, and even with that, because that's their excuse. We bring the real referees back, it's still going to be the same amount of messed up calls. No.
No, it won't.
It won't be blatant as they are.
I don't see that.
So,
I don't see it.
You know, and it's funny that we have to even, talk about that instead of talking about the good games that went on, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, things of that nature. You know, the Vikings, beat the 49ers. Now everybody's looking at the 49ers sideways. You know what I mean? Motor City Miracle Part 2 with Detroit and Tennessee. You know what I mean? They did the little throw on the kickoff. They threw it. We used to call that a spot pass we used to play football, where the guy would, you know, who's receiving the kick, he would throw it, but, the, you know, he would throw it to another person on the other side of the field because everybody's coming to get him, to tackle the original player with the ball. He throws it to the other guy on the other side of the field, and he runs it in for a touchdown. That's called, we used to call it a spot pass. But then Detroit comes back with the Hail Mary.
Right.
And they,
right.
You know what I mean? So,
right.
I mean, and you know, not to bring up no bad news for you again, you know, your Eagles, you know, they, you know.
Yeah.
All right. But.
Let's kind of skip that one.
I haven't heard from the homie Slate yet, but his, you know, his Steelers took an L, 34-31
to
the Raiders.
New England and Ravens game. That was a gift.
That
game was kind of faked out, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I just didn't see that ball going in like it should have on a kick with a field goal.
Oh, you think that field goal, the field goal,
that field goal was no good.
It was no good? You think Justin Tucker missed that 27-yarder?
It was no good.
Mm.
It was no good.
Mm.
And
wow.
I'm telling you, I was so disgusted with some of the calls on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch a lot of football.
Right.
I just went in, started, you know, like Googling the sports and everything like that.
Right.
Because it's, like you say, it gets to the point that you seeing all these bad calls, you get disgusted and disappointed. Like, this team is better than that.
Right.
You know, or this call shouldn't have been made. But who are we to say that shouldn't have been that call or this shouldn't have been that call?
Right.
You know, we can't get out there on the field and be like, no, man, that's the wrong call. We can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's...
Let me bring something up.
Okay.
The referees get graded, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how they pick and choose referees for the you know, the assignments of the playoffs and you know things of that nature. That's extra money for them as well.
Right.
And during the season, you know, if they make bad calls, their grades go down. Okay, so they're being graded every game during the season that they referee. They're being graded on. So that the refs with the higher grades get the better assignments. They get the Super Bowl and they get the playoffs and things of that nature. The way this is going right now, it's not going to be no referees around for the playoffs.
I was going to say, who's going to be the refs?
Who, you know what I mean?
Because it looks like from now, all I'm going to have else by the time of the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Now who? Or do we have a Super Bowl? It's going to be to the point that we don't even have a Super Bowl?
Oh, that's hard body right there. Do we even have a Super Bowl? That's hard body.
Exactly.
You know, and again, that's, you know, I'm speaking to it. It's, you know, it's a little murmur right now, and it's, you know, people are laughing at me when I bring the subject up about boycotting the NFL. You got to hit them where it hurts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If people kind of like band together and they come to a conclusion like, you know what, when you bring the real referees back, talk to me when the real referees come back. Then we'll get it in. Now I'll come back and watch the game.
Exactly.
Because right now you don't know what's going on, you know, and as far as me, you know, my picks, I mean, for me, I'm having a bad season. And I'm not going to blame it. I mean, I pick my games, you know what I mean? I do my picks during the week after further review, GPS Sports and all of that. But my picks usually are on point.
When you're talking about a point difference,
mm-hmm.
a point difference make a hell of a difference.
Yeah. Like you said last week, you didn't care if it was 1 point or not. If you win, you win.
I could see if you were, like, picking and choosing, right, Tampa Bay.
Right.
Saying Tampa Bay going to win by X, Y, Z amount of points. But they only lose by 1 point because of one bad call. It's not a good look.
Yeah, but I pick the game straight up. I don't do the points.
Okay.
I don't do the points. I pick the game straight up, head to head. So it's like if Tampa Bay is playing the Steelers or whatever, I'll pick Tampa Bay or I'll pick
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh. Simple as that. But, yeah, I mean, it all comes out in the wash. It's all the same difference. Cause, again, like I said, I'm picking the game straight up. And, like, the games are being decided by bad calls. So you're correct. The games are being decided by bad calls. So who do I pick now? Why do I even bother? See, that's my point.
Because
that's my point. Do I even bother?
You're thinking, okay, I know this team is better than that team.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to the wire, this one team got 27-3.
Right.
Come the towards the end of the third quarter, here come the team that's got three up to 17.
Right.
And but this other team still got 24. Okay,
okay.
All you need is a touchdown.
Right.
So in the fourth quarter, we're going to make a couple of bad calls because I didn't really see what happened. But let's agree that that team did make a touchdown when obviously in all reality, it was no touchdown.
Right.
Or it was a no-good field goal.
Right.
But I'm going to give it to them because we're going to make this a close game. And I don't know
right.
what I'm doing.
Okay.
And that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, it's you know, we're having a conversation about a topic that really should not ever be broached, you know what I mean? And maybe once every, you know, couple of months we'll talk, we should talk about a referee making a bad call and things of that nature. But
not
this is every week. It's consistently bad, and people are, you know, getting upset about it. And even, you know, President Obama, you know, he touched on it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, people are,
so you know,
you know,
it's bad.
You know, so it's a bad situation when the president, you know, is talking about it. And maybe, you know, he can, you know, bring the both sides to the table. We could get some kind of arbitration going on because not for nothing, the NFL is the biggest, you know, union in the world. They're the strongest union in the world, not for nothing. I don't know if people realize that or whatever. But the NFL is a strong, very, very strong unit, and the referees are part of that. So
right.
if you want to put a quality product on the field, you have to have quality people, you know, being the judges and the watchers of the game.
Right.
So that's what that's about. We're in the building, man. GPS, it's Tuesday night, the biggest show. So 646-200-3838 is the number to dial. Press 1 if you want to get in on the conversation. You know, we're talking about the same thing that we talked about last week with the replacement referees. It's just that the situation got a little bit worse, and a game that was, you know, a game turned on a bad call by referees who were, like, standing, you know, 10 feet away from the actual play, and they still couldn't get it together. So, you know, it was a lot of factors. What do you think that, you know, what would you tell Roger Goodell, or what do you feel that should be brought to the table in regards to getting this situation together? Give us a call and let us know your opinion. 646-200-3838. Press 1, and you can get in on the conversation with the mayor, which is myself, and TC. We in the building. Shout out to DJ Diamond for calling in. And, you know, we're going to go there. We got a nice little interview set up for a little bit after, at the 9 o'clock hour. You're listening to GQ Power Sports. You got the mayor and TC in the building. So, again, like I said, we don't know what we're looking at anymore. And, you know,
right.
you start to lose, you know, you start to lose your, you know, sports thing, this is all I got.
The interest.
You know what I mean? And you start to lose your energy and your passion for it when you don't know what the hell is going on.
I love football, but like you just said,
right.
I'm starting to slowly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and don't get me wrong, because every single week I can learn something new.
Right.
But now I'm learning new unfit calls.
Mm-hmm.
By the refs.
Right.
You know, it's just horrific that, you know, that the NFL players even got to go through it.
Right.
They shouldn't even be subject to have to go through the BS.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it is at the end of the day. It's all BS.
Right.
But, you know, hey, like you say, either boycott or let it keep rolling.
You got to send some kind of a message. I don't know, maybe. You know, that's just me. That's the Leo in me. I'm ready to just throw my hands up and be like, yo, you know what I mean? Be sweet. But, you know, it's got to be, you got to send some kind of message to these people. They said after the game last night, the NFL offices received 70,000 voicemails.
I'm sure.
I mean, somebody, you know, that tells you right there, somebody's upset.
Somebody's teetotaling.
And it's not even about, and it's not even about the money. So much as the, you know, the better.
It's about the
call,
period.
It's about the calls. Straight
right.
like that. So
right.
what do you do? You know, and these guys, man. But you know what? We got a call on the line. We got Mike. Welcome to the bigger show, my dude. You on with the mayor and TC. What's happening?
What's going on?
What's on, Mike?
Yes,
what's
sir.
On, Mike?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I just got to say one question to you.
Yes, sir.
Did the Giants win? Did the Giants win?
They won Thursday night.
Yes,
yeah,
they did.
They won Thursday
Shout out
night.
To the Giants. Shout out
was
to the Giants.
Was it 36-7? I did.
Yes, sir. It's 36-7.
Okay, but be mindful. They got a hell of a game coming up next.
Yeah, we was gonna get into that towards the end of the show.
Holla back at your girl.
Giants and the Eagles on Sunday night.
They got a hell of a game coming up next.
That's what you said last time.
Wait a minute, honey. We won the last time. Y'all won one, and we won one.
The Eagles?
Yeah.
They're going to take the Eagles and turn them into a pigeon.
And that game is in Philly, right?
Don't get that twisted, sweetie.
Right,
they're
going to
take the Eagles.
Go ahead, Mike. You got the floor, B. You called it. You said it last Tuesday.
Pigeon.
You said it. So you got the floor, man. Go ahead.
They're going to rip the Eagles apart.
Wait a minute, Mike. Listen.
TC, you going to take that? You going
to
let them talk about your team like that?
I'm
over here instigating.
The Eagles have no wins.
You gonna take that? That was cold. You gonna take that?
I'm gonna give them like 2 or 3 sacks on the Eagles. Smash their lineback into their tight end.
Listen.
Smash their wide receiver.
Mike,
over.
We gonna have the refs on outside, so y'all can squash that one being in Philly.
That's why I heard that they send in the referees a nice little care package.
That would be the only way y'all win.
Hey, Mike, can we get a score prediction on the Giants and Eagles for Sunday night? Since you the man, you called it last week, so I'm going to let you have the floor. Can we get a score prediction from you for the game on Sunday night, Giants and the Eagles?
I'm going to give it 35-10.
Yeah, that's going to be the Eagles and
35
the Giants.
To 10. I'm writing that down. 35-10. Okay, I got you.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me do that.
So did you watch the game Thursday night?
Mm-hmm. I see most
of
it.
Yeah.
Okay. I had the guy Brown on my fantasy team, so I really don't have no beef with the Giants right now. That dude is doing work for me.
I'm
undefeated in my fantasy league. So
they started cracking them when they first started. They don't even know how they got the first touchdown.
Yeah, they made Cam Newton and them look bad.
35 for the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay, and 10 for Eagles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to write it down.
Yeah, we could go back to the archives at GQ Palace Sports and we could dig it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But it's going down 646-200-3838. Press 1 if you want to get in on the conversation. We got Master Mike, Giants fan, in the building. So we give it, the floor is on you, B, because you called it. So I got to respect your gangster. You did call it. You know what I mean? So you got that. So Eli's looking real right now, man. So, you know, anything that's surprising you in regards to, you know, watching your Giants that you really didn't see?
I'm
you just like everything all the way around? Okay. Your secondary's secondary's hurting right now.
Yeah.
That's all right.
You said that's
I'm
all right.
Not
I like that.
At
nada.
That's all
right.
All he concerned about is his first team.
It's all good.
It's about to go down.
Yeah, but yeah. So what do you
feel? No Super Bowl this year for y'all.
What do you feel about the? I don't know if you saw the game last night. You saw the call, but what do you think about, you know, what needs to be done, or how would you try to fix the situation if you had a chance to, you know, give a suggestion to the NFL? What would you say?
Okay. What's his name?
Which one?
23. For the Giants. Did the Giants are thinking about?
He's a Giants fan. I am not mad at him.
I can't recall his name.
Okay, so
they got him on the bench right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need. If they put him, I can't think of his name. Once they put him in, it's over.
It's over.
I can't think of his name.
No doubt.
And they might put. I can't think of his damn name. But they're gonna put him in.
Okay.
Mark my words, the Giants is going to do it this year.
right. I hear you. I hear you. They're looking good right now, 2-1. They're looking okay. All right, no doubt. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you next week, man. Win or lose after the games. It's a Sunday night. They play the Sunday night game in Philadelphia. So looking forward to hearing from you next week, my dudes. Thanks for calling and stay on the line.
Sure.
We got Kim on the line. So Kim, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's happening?
Hey, how's everything?
Everything.
Hey, Kim.
Hey.
What's going on?
TC.
Yes.
Giants, baby.
We got another Giant. We got another vote for the Giants.
You got a score for us?
You got a score for us?
She always talks about her Eagles.
And you've been on point with your picks.
I got to rep them. I got to rep them. You know, win or lose, I'm a diehard. I can't jump the bandwagon. You know, you got so many people that, Giants is my team. Soon as the Giants mess up, I'm for Jets. Soon as the Jets mess up, you know, that bandwagon, no.
They really don't get no burn over here. The bandwagon fans don't really get no burn over here because it's like, you know, I dealt with that situation before, you know what I mean, where it's one week they like this team, the next week they like that team.
Right.
And, you know, and then when you call them on it, it's like, oh, well, I can do what I – yeah, you can, but you just can't do that over here.
Right. Right.
Okay, you ain't going to stick to one team that you either, you know, you grew up watching or you like because they have a particular player on there, then that's your squad.
Right.
You can't, you know, be all over the map just because you want to be down with a winner. Everybody wants to be a winner. Everybody loves a winner. Didn't the Isley brothers say that? Everybody's a winner, you know what I mean? So
everybody loves a winner.
Everybody loves a winner. So, but, you know, that's the bandwagon. You know, we let them do what they do. They over there, they're not really into the game anyway.
But I have to say, Kim and Mike always come out with, they always say the Giants. So I can't say that they're nowhere near a bad jumper, you know.
Look, win or lose, he could talk about it. TC gets silent when her teams don't do good.
I didn't see none of them posts. When they won the week before last, it was oh my God, the Eagles are flying high
exactly,
and it's victory
exactly,
and da 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 da.
Exactly.
They lost the other day.
True.
It's like it was silence on the line.
To be honest, I wasn't at home.
You know why? Because when the Eagles lose, TC is silent.
No, actually, to be honest, I wasn't home watching the game.
Uh-oh, look
Sunday.
At this. Look at this. I wasn't home. Look at this. Look
no,
at
no,
this.
I was.
Was you home
not,
when they won?
I was sick. I was sick. Yeah, actually, I was home.
I told you.
Trust and believe. No. But trust and believe. I was sick when they were losing those other two games.
Right.
Because I did not think that we were going to win either one of those two games that we won, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I really, truly didn't.
Okay.
You know, and like I said, hey, it don't matter because if you go back, well, that's last year. But even last year, when the Giants won one and we won one, I still was raising Cain with the Giants fans.
I'm going to do this year.
And I'm going to be there, trust and believe. I'm going to make sure that I'm at home this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
You got a score for the game this week, the Giants and the Eagles? You got a score?
I just want to tell TC they're going to demolish the Eagles.
They're going to demolish them.
Demolish them as in 42-0?
You know what? You know, I'm not really a sports fan, but I have to say, I guess I put like, I say like 40.
Uh-oh. I'm writing it down.
I'm writing it down, too.
40 for the Giants?
Oh, of course.
And how much for the Eagles?
I give them 10.
Uh-oh, 40-10. We're going to take that 10.
Okay.
All right.
Look,
Mike got 35-10. Kim got 40-10.
You know, I mean, I could go lower, but, you know, I don't want her to feel some kind of way.
That's how we get down over here. GQ Palace Sports in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the number. Press 1, man, to get in on this conversation. Let's go. We're having some fun out here, man. It's a Tuesday night. The Bigger Show is in the building on your radio dial and all that. 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Giants and Eagles, man, it's about to start percolating. So Sunday night, 8:30 at Lincoln Financial Field is going down. We got an interview coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with my man Rob G. So stay tuned for that. But right now we just talking football, man, trying to find out what's going on with these referees. And yes.
Is Mike still on the line?
Mike, you still with us? Nah, I think he went to go do his Giant update.
He's
trying to find out who Tony 3 is.
The player talking about was Corey Webster.
Okay, Corey Webster.
Number 23,
no doubt.
Corey Webster.
He should have knew that. But it's all good. It's all good. I thought Corey Webster was hurt.
I don't do the
job,
so.
Okay. I hear you. Look,
there you go.
I hear you. See, that's slick talking. I got that too. She just tried to slide that in there. She didn't do the Giants thing. Like, it's really no concern. You know what I mean?
But you heard her, right? But you heard her when you said at the beginning of the show. You was like, so your team didn't do that good. She's like, oh, let's not talk about it.
Yeah, she wasn't talking about the weather and how the weather was changing and all that.
Exactly.
Now, look, if you're a big supporter, you'll talk about them even when they lose. You try to put some words of encouragement for your team.
You're taking the heat off of me. And my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because we lost to Dallas 16-10. So y'all go ahead, y'all do what y'all do, and I don't have to worry about talking about my Tampa Bay Bucs. But I'm down with them, win, lose, or draw. That's my team forever. But we stink right now. We got Jeremy in the building. Jeremy, welcome to the bigger show, my dude.
Thank you, buddy.
What's happening?
How you doing?
Okay,
you're an Eagle fan, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to shout out my Giants fan.
Okay.
I'm a Giants fan to death.
We got another Giants fan in the house.
what I see going on Sunday?
Go ahead.
Michael Vick going to take a beat like he took Sunday.
Nah.
They're going to beat him down.
Jeremy.
He's going to be alrighty.
Jeremy, let me get a score prediction from you right quick.
Okay.
My score will be, I'm going to say Giants 31, Eagles 14.
Giants 31,
okay.
Eagles 14. Got you. We got another call on the line. Picasso, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show, my dude.
Mayor, what's going on, y'all? You know I'm loving y'all today, right? Look, anytime I hear somebody talk good about my Giants, I got another Giant. You already know. You already know what it is. First off, them cowgirls. Hello, T. I'm going to put it out there. Them cowgirls. Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny too? My family been listening to the radio show, right? They were like, yeah, how you just dumping on Texas, and you was born in Texas. Yeah, I might have been born in Texas, and I ain't knocking no Texas teams. Don't get it twisted now. But I'm straight from New York.
It ain't where you're from, it's where you're at, right?
That's right. Wait, didn't we have a prediction last week that said the Giants was going to lose, then they just win?
Yeah, they beat Carolina.
They gave it to Carolina, but I don't think we did the game. They did play Carolina.
Yeah.
We didn't do the prediction for the Giants last week. It was Eagles, Arizona, Atlanta, San Diego, New England, and Ravens.
Okay.
All right, I got a million-dollar question. Now,
okay.
I'm going to do this just like this. Now, Mayor, who you going for?
In this particular game right here?
Uh-huh.
Giants and Eagles?
You put a gun to
my head right now. I'm going to say the Giants, but I still got a couple of days before I put the picks on after further review. But I'm going to say the Giants. I think the Giants defense is the truth. You know, if Michael Vick doesn't get any time to hit his receivers, you know what I mean? Because the defensive line is going to put heat on him. And he needs time to find, his receivers. And if he doesn't have that time, then – like my man Mike said earlier, they're going to put the smash on Michael Vick.
You know what? I like that.
Picasso, what's your prediction? Your numbers.
Oh, man, listen, I'm looking at it like this. The Eagles, 10. The New York Giants, 27.
Okay, so you got the Giants, 27, and the Eagles, 10?
The Eagles, 10, yeah.
Okay.
I even get the Eagles, 14. At the
okay, 27-14? I got you, Picasso. Listen, we're gonna have to cool this out for a second because I got my special guest on the line, my man Rob G. I'm gonna get into this interview, so hang out with us. GQ Palace Sports is in the building. We're about to get into this situation, and we're gonna get back into the talk before we get off the air tonight. Rob, you out there?
Right here.
All right, it's my man, Rob
Hello,
G.
Rob.
Yes. We got Rob G in the building. Rob, what's good, man?
You the man.
All right, trying to hold it down. Listen, this good friend of mine, you know what I mean? I know him from way, 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 way back. He cuts my hair and the whole nine. But he's doing a situation. I just want you to let people know, man, what you're dealing with, man. And you know, go ahead and tell your story, and then we'll get into the back and forth.
Okay, the nigga is simple.
Uh-huh.
Everybody know a foster child or a person who's been in foster care.
Wow.
Me, myself, I was a foster child. Everybody know a foster child is an orphan. You know, in the world, they call orphans. In America, they call a foster child.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Foster care, the whole nine. Me, I'm a spokesperson for these kids. You know, a lot of kids out here, you know, age out of foster care, end up on the streets, jail, mental institutions, homeless, you know.
Right.
We make up a third of the population in this country.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't get adopted, don't have no identity with their self or anything else, no family. And what I do, I started a foundation back in 2004 called the Broadway Kids.
Mm-hmm.
What I do, I specialize in uniting kids with their families, finding their families 10, 20, 30 years later, you know, going to court with people, helping them get their kids back, you know, speaking against the abuse and the neglect and all the grimy stuff they're doing in this foster kid system, and just, you know, various things I do, you know what I'm saying? But the main thing is to represent those kids who don't got a voice, to represent themselves.
Okay, so you've been doing the Throwaway Kids since Foundation since 2004? Hello. Yeah, you've been doing the foundation since 2004. So what, you know, you it's important to you because you come from that system, and so how do you turn that into a situation where you get people involved and get them to really, really, really get down with the cause?
Well, first thing first is understand what a child goes through, you know, or an adult. You know, a lot of people, you know, they stand off about, you know, situations that happen in their life and their past as far as not knowing their family or being separated from their brothers and sisters, you know what I mean? And they hold that, you know what I'm saying? A lot of them are damaged by that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we deal with people on the everyday, you know, work, you know, on the personal, just out in the world, and you're wondering, like, why this person is the way they are, you know what I'm saying? And, deep inside what they went through, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of us were blessed to grow up, you know what I mean, with their parents, their brothers and sisters.
Right.
But a lot of
That's
them
right.
separated, and they do remember that last sight of seeing their mother or that last sight of seeing their brother or sister, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So stripped away, and they go the rest of their life, don't see them ever again because of a dollar.
Right.
Because then the system is worth a dollar, a lot of dollars, all a business. You know what I'm saying? Here in America, it's a business. Anywhere else in the world, it's just, you know, orphans, and they chipping a little piece here and there to them. But here, they worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. So is that the main important mission of the Throwaway Kids, to put that message out, to be like, okay, it's getting back to the genesis of it. Like, we're here for you, you know. We need to make that connection so you won't be walking around wondering, you know, where my brothers are or where my sisters are, because I have family members that's dealing with that right now, 20 years after the fact. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I mean, you know, I talk to my nephew all the time, and, you know, he still carries that hurt with him and things of that nature. But, you know, to get them, you know, where they're of that younger age where they can, you know, kind of get ahead of the game and say, well, okay, I'm going to, you know, reunite you with your biological family, you know, before it gets to a point where you're 17, 18, 19, where you start to get resentful and things of that nature.
Right.
So you know, how do you work with that? How do you deal with that?
Well, first you got to have that one-on-one powwow with him, like deep powwow to ask him how do he feel, you know, and then whatever you know, you break it down to him. You know what I'm saying, man? You know, it's just like, you know, losing a job or a friend die or a family member die. They got to learn to accept it. They got to learn how to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be, you know, to hold it back. You know what I'm saying? And once you can get that to a person and break it down, oh, this is the situation that happened. Well,
right.
Just hit them, pow. You know
what
I'm saying, man? This is it. Ain't nothing you can do about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta move on from there. But this is the situation. You got to learn to understand how to deal with certain situations because you're going to come, you know, face to face with it. And when you're dealing with family, you can't pick your family. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's right.
People die.
That's true.
People leave your life. Fathers be around for a minute, gone, bing, you know what I'm saying? So you can't predict what's going to happen, but the only thing you can take it as a learning experience because you're going to deal with the situation with friends. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to get friends that's going to do you in or be with you for a minute and then out.
Mm.
So family is the same way. So if you can understand a situation with a family, or I mean a friend in the street, you know, he flips on you and did all this. Did his own thing. Like
right, you can
girl.
Look at you can see. Yeah, mm-hmm. I hear you. I hear you.
I mean,
right.
Start learning that with family because
mm-hmm.
family got at you quicker.
Right, blood is thicker than mud. Right, right, right. That's right.
Always.
No? So
sometimes family ain't always. You know what I'm saying, man? Family, you know, ain't always.
Yeah, good. And that's right. You're right. So I mean, tell everybody how you kind of made the connection from what you do. You have the you're very active in the community in New Rochelle. I know firsthand. You know what I mean? And, you know, you're literally fighting, you know, for these kids. So tell everybody a little bit about that situation, how, you know, you're fighting for these kids literally, man.
Well, where it really started from, I had to go to the, you know, the essence, the beginning,
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
when I learned my situation, I learned it young at the age 7.
Right.
And nobody necessarily broke it down to me why my mother gave me away. So I went my whole life hearing, you know, different you know, lies. Oh, she was a dope addict. She was on drugs.
Right.
And that. So believe that. Check this out. This is the deep part. I believed that lie and never got high. I believed that lie and never got high.
Say that one more time, my dude.
Yeah,
I don't need to. That's deep. That's deep right
there. You know, I drank a little bit, man, but I always kept my body right. But I never abused my body because I always said, I end up in a system separated from my family behind drugs. You think I'm going to get high? You think I'm going to...
Exactly.
Yeah, wow. You see that?
Brother, that's a wonderful
life.
Thing.
Listen,
right.
I believe that. I'm 47, man. I just found out the truth, man, 7 years ago.
Right.
7 years ago when I met my biological family. When I spoke to my mother for the first time, she denied me. She was like, she didn't have me. You know what I'm saying? She didn't have me. You know, and the reason why I say she didn't have me, this is one thing I thought all my life that if she was all messed up on drugs, I'm going to find her. I got this house. I'm going to put her on the second floor, let her live rent-free. I'm going to take care of my mom. Boom.
That's what's up.
I meet her family. They say, your mother was never on drugs. Your mother, you know, she was having a different relationship with different men, but she was never on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. I go back to my adopted father and say, you told me she was on drugs. Oh, I don't remember telling you that. Man, listen, you tell a kid,
wow.
I'm going to take him to a toy store, he ain't going to forget that. You tell me something about my mother,
you go.
I'll never forget that. Anything you told me, I remember to the T.
Right.
You know, I remember my adopted father's mother lived with us. That was my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
She sat me on the bed and explained to me. She said, your mother couldn't take care of you, and she had a son before you. Well, she couldn't take care of both of you, but she had to give you up. So I couldn't really understand. I said, why give me up? I'm the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
But then she did. She said, your mother was a, you know, she's half Indian, you know, iron hair, weight, eyebrows, baby. And I remember that. Young. Older, and I met my biological family, I brought that up.
Right.
Right. So that'll be quiet. When I went back to my pops, my adopted father, and I told him, he said, my mother never told you that. I said, yes, she did.
Mm.
And when I met the family, they told me that's exactly how she looked. Saw pictures of her.
Right.
Now, that's the deep part. But the real story was my mother living in the same building with her sister. a sister was married. Her mother was sticking around her brother-in-law. She got pregnant with me. My aunt caught them while she was pregnant.
Right.
My mother gave me up quietly, you know, didn't really want the rest of the family to know, gave me up quietly. So that was like a secret that was buried years ago.
Right.
Then when I found one of my uncles in Mount Vernon, you know, saying where I live at, and I connected with him, he thought I was my brother. Then he said, oh, you was the other baby she was carrying, and you just disappeared. Now, it's all coming out.
Mm.
He called my aunt down south. That's the aunt whose husband was messing with, you know, my mother. My aunt says, what year were you born? 1965. Where were you born at? St. Joseph Hospital. She had it all. She kept it in her head all that time because all my brothers and sisters was born in the same hospital with the same address. So my aunt put two and two together, called her sister, which is my mom. They was battling on the phone for days.
Mm.
My aunt couldn't wait to see me. She was like, when you coming down south, so I can see you. As soon as I came down south, man, I'm a splitting image of my brother and my father.
Wow.
And it comes, my father was a barber, just like me. And you want to know something? I used to his barber shop for years going to Yonkers. Ride right past him, look in there and be like, cats just sit around, man, play chess all the time, man. Didn't know that was my pops.
Wow.
You know? Out of all his sons, he got seven sons and one daughter. I'm the only one that picked up barbering. I'm the only one that look exactly like him and never knew him, and he never knew me. He never knew I existed. When I met him a couple years back, he seen me face to face, but he saw a ghost, man. He didn't know I even exist. Nobody told him that he had me.
Wow.
But,
wow, I'm sorry. If you don't mind me cutting. I'm sorry, brother. You don't mind me cutting it. I just want to commend you on what you're doing with these kids. And, I mean, that's a big thing because a lot of these kids, they don't have nobody who talks for them, who speak up for them, who even reaches out for them. And you coming from that environment and knowing what it's like to be in that position, I definitely commend you on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But I'm going to tell you why it has to be done. I'm going to tell you something deep. A lot of people, this goes over their head when I say it to them. The family that took me in when I was a baby, the Garrises, I wear that like a badge, the Garrises. They took me in. At the age 7, they said, we're going to keep this kid. And we got attached to him. They adopted me, right? Now, I grew up with, you know, two parents, a grandmother, a strict, strict loving home. Out of the whole neighborhood, there was 37 kids foster care. Me and my adopted, those were the only ones that got adopted in our neighborhood. We had the best position in life as adopted kids. We got the same thing the biological kids get. If anything, he favored me more than all the kids, my adopted brother and my two adopted sisters, which was his biological. I was his number one honcho, and I never knew what honcho means. You know, they said some Indian term, but he always used to say as a kid, you're my number one honcho, and I never knew what he meant until years later. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But I'm going to tell you something. What's deep? God gave me my blessing early.
Amen.
My blessing was the Garris family.
Right.
I watched all my friends get abused and bounce from home to home. My best friend, Kevin Washington, got abused, was getting beat down like crazy. And we used to go to the house and always like, damn, why is this man always beating on him, man? And we didn't understand it, and the caseworker wouldn't even do nothing about it. Next thing, he died in jail. But the point I'm saying is I was blessed early. God gave me my gift early, and then '98 came. That's when my adopted mother passed away, and I made a promise to her that I would go back to church. I went to this little church called St. Paul. I'm sitting there in the balcony. Some lady, supposed to be some prophet, her name Prophet is Bush, she pointed to me and called me downstairs, and I'm like, call me downstairs? For what? I see everybody jumping online like they're giving out money. So I get online, she pulls me to the front and start reading my life to me. And I'm like, wow, this lady don't even know me. She ain't even from here. She's from Jersey. She broke my whole life down, what I was going through. I'm looking at the pastor like, oh, do you know this lady? How does she know this information about you? You don't even know this. So she broke it down. She said, you're going to make a comeback in the ring to help children. And I stopped boxing in 85. This is 98. I stopped boxing. I ripped the artery in my nose. I stopped boxing. opened up a business, doing good. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't thinking about no boxing. She told me, you're going to make a comeback in the ring that helps kids. I'm looking at her. I didn't see the connection. I didn't see the connection. She said that you're going to be deep involved and good things are going to come out of it. That's how it all started. But I always tell people, this ain't something I plan on doing. This ain't something I wanted to do. This is what was chosen for me to do.
All right.
I would do this. You know, I can't turn back now.
Right.
I can cut hair. 30 years I've been cutting hair. 10 for the next man.
That's right.
For 30 years I've been in the game. I can stop that, but I can't stop representing these kids. God gave me.
All right now.
He told me. He said, "Listen, I bless you. I gave you a gift early. You owe. You owe."
Mm.
So this is what you got to do the rest of your life. You got to represent them to the end. To the end.
Mm.
That's what I got. You know, this ain't it's not a peaceful road. This is a rough road, man.
Right.
People
right.
I know what's happening to these kids is wrong, and they don't care.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's who I am. These kids and look me in my face, knowing that yo, it ain't right. That like, listen, man. Let me catch you in the act of really here that's really going down like that. I'm going to catch
mm-hmm.
a charge, man.
Mm.
I see what I, my best friend with these kids. You know, I ain't forgot that. I still vision it to this day, going to his house and his nose is bleeding, eyes closed.
Mm.
And I hear about the story.
Wow.
I'm going to ramble on these people, man.
Wow.
You know? So I have to use the ring.
Mm.
And the one thing about boxing, I don't like boxing no more. I like to watch it. You know what I'm saying? I like to watch it. I don't like to beat on people. I don't want nobody beating on me. I'm humble
right.
today. I want to help people.
Right.
You know, I want to help. But I'm good at that. And that's
right.
what society likes to see. Two men get in there and fighting and this and that. Well, listen, if me getting in there will bring attention to these kids, let's do this. If that's going to bring light
I heard
to
that.
The way,
wow.
so I'm going to take all. Because you want to know something? I didn't take no blows as a baby. He said, I was saved from all that abuse.
Mm.
So
right.
pounds a man. I'm in pain every day. I trained for 12 years for a comeback. Promoters give me a hard time. My body's breaking down. But I gotta do this to the end for them. I gotta let these kids know this is a platform to introduce
yeah.
me to the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? I don't wanna be world champion. I don't wanna be like no Mayweather. I had my time years ago. When I got injured, I accepted it. But I moved on. And started a business with living well. But the boxing is just a platform to introduce me to the world. Because the world ain't accept you unless they know you did something. Now, when I took this world record by being the first athlete to come back from amateur to pro in 27 years, no athlete in the world ever done that. But like I told the papers, I said, when y'all write this, I want you to say, just another man, just another black man. I want you to say, he was a former foster kid. Because I want all these and grown-ups who went through that system, who wasn't successful to say, yo, if he can do it, I can do it.
Definitely.
70% of the kids that age out of the system, 70% today end up homeless, jail, or in mental institution.
That's true.
That's a heavy number. So I want them to say, wow, one of us did it. And I want them to be inspired to say, listen, man, I can do something, man. It don't have to be boxing, but anything that one of your own is something nobody can do.
Right.
Come back. And look good.
Wow. So,
Come back and look good.
So Rob, how can people help, man, and, you know, get down with the, you know, with the Throwaway Kids Foundation? Is there a way people can, like, donate time or energy or funds to what you're doing? Because it really needs to get out there, man. The word needs to get out there for real.
Right now, it's just, you know, letting people know. You know what I'm saying? You know, the main thing is when time to fight, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to let these kids know that there's somebody out there. See, I'm going to tell you something real deep. This is real deep. Check this out. You know, y'all know DMC, from Run DMC.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, of course.
He found out at the age 35 that he was adopted, right? Me and him linked up together. We started doing things together. But he didn't really know much about the system. You know what I'm saying? He just knew his situation. So I was consulting him on what goes on in foster care, this and that. And we used to hook up and do little speaking things. And I used to say to him, why why you never speak about the needs they need, about the abuse? I know you didn't see it, but you can still speak for them. You got a voice. Next thing, this man gets an opportunity to go speak in Congress. You feel what I'm saying? In Congress. And I said, yo, why you didn't bring me? He looked at me, man. He's like, yo, they don't know you. And it bothered me at first. And I said, you're right, they don't know me. If they can't Google my name right then and there, I don't exist. I'm nobody. And I said, hey, it is with those people in Congress. If they never heard of you, you ain't getting up in there.
Right.
So I'm not mad at him because I said, you was Run DMC for 20 years. Everybody know. If they ain't listen to your music, they know who you are.
Right.
So I understand how you got in the door. But he said, I got in the door, but I didn't really have a message. You should have been in there.
Wow.
You should have been in there. We go places. He said, I never told you this, man, but you be dropping it so smooth, like I be dropping lyrics. When you talk about the system, you drop it like Malcolm King.
Yeah, you
all
do.
You drop it so smooth. And he said, yo, man, I can't even mess with you on the stage, man, with that, man. I can't even mess with you, but you should be in Congress. But that's the reason why I got to do this fight. I got to make history for them to know who I am.
So where are we right now as far as, you know, getting a fight or, you know, I understand with the New York State Athletic Commission. Are they, you know, making some inroads or where are you at as far as that's concerned?
With the commission, I passed the test the first time. I was supposed to fight 2011, January 13th. You know, it's funny about that date. January 13th was the last fight I did 27 years ago.
Wow.
1985, 2013. And they pulled me off the fight card and said I was a liability. A liability? I done passed all the physicals. They said, we don't have no history on you as a pro or amateur. And they pulled my amateur record. They said, that's 27 years ago. We cannot mess with you, man. We just got our job. So I said, I understand that part, but y'all didn't have to wait to the last minute after I sold $7,500 worth of tickets and they say I can't fight. Then
right.
You say there's something wrong with my MRI. I go to a specialist, MRI. He said, ain't nothing wrong with your MRI. How can something be wrong with your MRI? You ain't been punched in the head in years, man. You ain't never had no trauma to the head. Then the corner that I'm supposed to fight, you've been knocked out 5 times. He's 40 years old. I'm saying, yo, you must have got the MRIs mixed up. Because there's no way that his MRIs better than mine. And
right.
I've never been knocked out. So I seen the politics and the BS in the game, man. So, you know, I kept coming, took my own physical, forced him on it. And they said, yo, we got to give him his license, man. You know, this is discrimination, man. We don't get this man his license, man. He going to open a whole can of worms, man. I said, I'll shut this boxing business down. You know what I'm saying? I shut it down without a fight. You know what I'm saying? Because ain't no way that God is going to put me in this position.
Mm-hmm.
I told the brother. It was a brother. It was a black doctor, man, who did me in, man. I'm talking to him on the phone. I'm thinking he's a white boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brother, man. I said, yo, brother, I got to do this. But he said, yo, man, your life ain't worth your mission. Your life ain't worth your cause. I said, oh, man, you got to be the devil I'm talking to, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I said, I'll give my life. One thing for sure, we're going to die one day. But you got to stand for something.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Man.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be recognized just as a barber, just another black man who wore afro. Nah, man. All of a sudden, they'll be talking about 30, 40, 50 years from now. I said, that man made an impact in the system. That's why conditions
right.
are better.
No, that's right.
That's
true.
We're safer today.
Mm.
We got better grants today. We got better resources today.
Mm.
So, if my mother
wow.
gave me away, I wouldn't be where I'm at.
Mm.
I mean, so everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And I learned to accept that. And that's what I want. That's my message to the youth and to adults who went through that situation. You know what I'm saying? I learned to accept it. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You know, I didn't ask to be born. You know what I'm saying, man? I ain't asked to
right.
be born, but I'm here. I didn't ask to be given away. You know what I'm saying, man? But the situation happened the way it happened. I just got to accept. My mother to this day don't speak to me. I write her every year, day before my birthday, send her the next day letter. She's like, I know the whole story, man. I forgive you. You know what I'm saying, man? I don't
right.
hold it against you.
Beautiful.
I was 20 years old. I did a whole lot of stuff. When I was 20 years old, I ain't do what you did. I ain't give up my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it is, man. But I believe we'll meet on her deathbed. You know, right now she's on some, you know, she's into the word. you know what I'm saying, I don't know what words you're really into, because if you're really into the word, you know what I'm saying, you know, all your sins washed, man. You come clean. Like, listen,
I understand that. That's right.
I know this. And it's all right. What you did, I already confronted my father. I already met your kids. It is what it is, man. But I'm not a damaged person. I'm not a bad person. I ain't been on drugs. I ain't been to jail. You know what I'm saying, man?
I've been knowing you for a long time, man. And you know, let's say you cut my hair way, way back. You know what I mean? So it's all come to a situation where it's all worthwhile. You know what I mean? The struggle.
Yeah.
You know, the struggle. And then once, you know, it's a purpose now that goes along with it. You know what I mean? And like you said earlier, it's not easy. It hasn't been easy, and it won't be easy. But as long as you still got that energy and that drive and that motivation, man.
Yeah. I wrestle with a lot of stuff, but it don't weaken me.
Right.
Yeah, tears might come to my eye, but it don't drop. You know what I'm saying, man?
Right.
Anger thought runs in my mind, but I don't act on it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I need to get that message out there to these people. Because there's a lot of people out there wrestling with the thing that's their fault. Why I was put in this situation? Why was I born? Man, you here. You here. So you gotta just move on and be strong about it. You hear?
No doubt.
I'm a successful black man. I ain't no ugly guy. I ain't no scar baby, no retarded kid. You know what I'm saying? I'm here.
Right.
I'm one of the most powerful men in the world. Not with fortune, not with money, but with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And in the time after we do this fight, I'm going to tour the country, man.
I hear you.
I'm going to do speaking engagements all around the world, man. All around the world.
No doubt.
And that's just going to wake these kids up and teach them how to take care of themselves, mentally, physically, spiritually.
And that it can be done, like you said, no matter what your circumstance is, man, you can always rise above it, you know what I'm saying? So
just like they see that on the shirt, just do it, just do it.
Right.
And you're going to see my shirt. If I can, you can.
That's what it is, man. We got Rob G on the phone, man. Rob Garris in the building with GQ Palace Sports, man. 646-200-3838 is the number. Who we got on the line? We got Mike still in the building with us? Okay. If you want to call in, man, and get into the conversation and ask Rob a question, it's all good.
Yeah, I want to ask Rob a question.
Go ahead.
Rob, was boxing something that you wanted to do, or you just felt like everything you went through as a young age, if you take your anger out on, like, in a ring situation, you know, going in a ring? Is this something that you normally wanted to do as growing up, you know?
True. No, I didn't. You know what happened? As a kid, I used to get bullied a lot because I was skinny. He was a crack on me. He was a foster kid. He don't know his parents. So I was trying to fight, you know, trying to fight. So I brought me a book, you know what I'm saying? I tried to read a book, you know what I'm saying, about how to teach me how to box. So I'm making equipment in the basement, man, putting sand in a bag, punching it, sand all over. Father, so I'm taking you to a gym, man. You know what I'm saying, man? I'm taking you to a gym. Took me to a gym. Next thing, I'm sitting there with him watching Muhammad Ali. I'm like, he's telling me all about Muhammad Ali. I'm like, yeah, I want to do that, man. You know, Ali inspired me not only because of the way he fights, but he's for the people. And my thing was, at that time, I wanted to feed poor people. I used to see those commercials, give a dime, you can feed a kid. I said, man, if I make $1,000, I could feed a lot of people. That was my mission.
Mm-hmm.
But the mission was the kids, because I didn't really know my situation until I got older. So I never really wanted to, you know what I'm saying? I never wanted to fight, but I knew how to do it well. You know what I'm saying? And I to this day, I don't like fighting. I can't stand for it. I hate violence.
So,
but I do it well.
What at that time, what was actually giving you that strive? Because you said you stopped, and then you started.
Well,
what gave you that strive to start boxing again?
What happened was I ripped the artery in my nose in training. You know, in 1985. I started fighting in 79 all the way to 85. My record was 63-3. And I ripped the artery in my nose training for the Empire State Games. And I was eliminated. Like, yo, once the artery is real, I didn't have no insurance. I was living out on my own. I had no medical insurance. So, you know, I had to stop. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, nosebleed, that was it. You know? So, you know, years later, when I went to church, it was in 98, that's when that prophet told me. She said, you're going to make a comeback in the ring. I thought she was crazy. Man, I wouldn't brought a 40, man, rather than she told me. I'd have left her. Days later, I'm sitting around. I'm these visions. I'm walking in the ring with kids. I'm like, where the hell kids come from? But it's what she said. She said, you're going to represent kids. You're going to represent. And you want to know something? The first fight I had coming back in 97, I had kids walking me in the ring, just the way she visioned it.
Wow.
First fight, it was an illegal pro fight. We called it an exhibition, but it was an illegal fight because we didn't wear no headgear, no shirts. We went in there like two pros. People paid at the door to see me fight for these kids. And the kids walked me in the ring just the way she said it. So, you know, this is the mission, man. So I'm back. It ain't about my choice.
So you actually started boxing again?
I've been training since 2000, and I have four times since then.
Okay. I just want to ask you one more question. Just one more question. What do you feel is an age limit when you should actually stop boxing, when you feel like, all right, I don't want to stop. I'm going to stop now. I'm not going to. Because, you know, boxing is like a crucial sport, you know. Those hits in the head, you know, and everything.
Right.
It's like, you know. It's like that's why Muhammad Ali is the way he is.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something.
So, actually, age limit do you actually think it is when a person should stop?
I'm going to drop a jewel on you, man. You ever see fruit in a bowl? Check this out. You ever see fruit in a bowl and some of the fruit be brown?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's the best fruit.
And if you eat it, it's sweet. And then you see a piece of fruit that's real good, look fresh, and you bite it, and it's bitter.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Everybody's
so you're
saying
it's
different. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah,
look at
George Foreman. Mm-hmm.
No, hear me out.
Go ahead.
It's like I just said, that fruit, sometimes it looks bad, it looks old, but it's sweet. Sometimes you eat some fruit, like a banana, and you think it's right because it's yellow, and it's bitter. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's prime is different. You know what I'm saying? God bears fruit at old age. I think my prime is now because things I could do now, I couldn't do years ago.
Wow.
I got the same trainer I had 20-something years ago. He said, you do things now that you couldn't do back then. You know what I'm saying? But I feel the pain because of the body. The body, it takes longer to recover. The body, you know, you can't get away from pain when you're older.
Right.
Yeah.
Recovery is hard. You bump your leg back in the day, you could beat you bumped it. You bump it now, you feel it for months.
That's true.
True that, man.
But my prime is now. Things, if you see me fight, if you watch one of my tapes, you wouldn't think I never left the ring. I look at my videos and be like, who the hell is that?
Wow.
I can't believe myself. I don't like fighting. I look at the things I do, the combination slips, and I'm like, damn, I'm 47 years old and can do this. I can't believe this. I went to go to Foreman 2 years ago. I met George Foreman 2 years ago. George said to me, man, show me some ID, man. It's hard to believe. You look and you know more. He said, I watched a documentary. You sent it to my son because his son is fighting. He said, man, this is powerful, man. He said, all you need is the right marketing. Your point is going to get across to these kids. You only need is one fight. One fight. Make history and go out there and minister to these kids. And God is going to reward you. I told him he rewarded. He gave me my reward early. He gave me the Garris family. He said, you got great things coming. I believe it. Mm-hmm.
I do want to wish you the best of luck, you know, in everything you do. I hope you give your information so maybe later on down the line I could go and catch one of your fights or something. But I really wish you the best of luck, and I'm happy you still succeeding at what you want to do, and don't let nothing stop you, man.
Ain't nothing going to stop me now. That's what it is, no doubt. Man, listen, they telling me I got to buy my way on a car. I'm like, listen, that means I got to do it. I'll buy my way.
Wow.
That's not the excuse, man. They like, yo, you can't get cleared. I got cleared. Oh, we can't find your opponent. Man, I got 10 opponents. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got nobody my age. You know what I'm saying? They're making all these excuses, man. But the flip side to it is when I do it, now they're all going to be eating from my hand. Oh,
right.
We want to come back. ain't messing with y'all, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not gonna
you should have had faith in me from the gate. You should have had the faith in you from the gate, so don't come now.
Don't come after the fact. All the
done. These promoters got money, and they not losing nothing putting me on. I told them, you ain't got to pay for nothing. I pay for my own. I got my own sponsors. I said, we get our own opponent, pay for our own physical, and sell tickets. Just give me my fight. Just give me my 15 minutes. Four rounds. It's 15 minutes. Just give me my 15 minutes, man, to make a change. Because once I get in that ring and do my win, lose, or draw, it's going to make an impact on a lot of people.
Right.
CC in the mirror, can I ask him a question real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Man. All right, brother, I want to ask you a question. What do you think about, like, the boxers who showboat in the ring? Like, let's say Roy Jones, Floyd Mayweather. Like, do you think that's bad for the business now than what it was back then?
No. I mean, that's like dancing. Some people dance regular. Some people get jazzy. You know what I'm saying, man?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying, man? Sometimes I do it. The best come out of me when I get a little jazzy in the ring. You know what I'm saying? You know, I feel more relaxed. You know what I'm saying, man? I won't be tensed up. Sometimes I get in there and, you know, play around. If I know I got the opponent, you know, at the edge of my jab. You know what I'm saying? If I got where I need him at, I'm going to play around. I'm going to play with them. I'm going to make them look at me a whole different way, man, and catch them. Pow! They're going to sleep on
it.
What people can do it. Everybody can't do it. Everybody, you can't do it on every fight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know,
right.
Everybody you can't do that on. You know, Mayweather can't do that on every fighter. You know what I mean? Pacquiao can't do it. Certain people you can't play with. You know what I'm saying? They got your number. You can't play with them.
Okay, one more question to ask you, and then I'm done for you, my brother. I got a question.
God bless me to come back, man. I might have pain. I mean, you look at me, think I'm 30. You know what I'm saying? My body is right. You know what I'm saying? It took 12 years, man, to get my body right. I was fat, had a belly like a drinking 40 stuff. You know what I'm saying, man? Now I got the six pack. You know what I'm saying? I'm right. You know what I'm saying, man?
Determination.
It ain't genetics, because all my brothers are sloppy. You know what I'm saying, man? You know, I'm
body at home. Determination.
I put work. I tell cats all the time. I say, listen, man, I sacrifice, man. You know what I'm saying? I can say what I can say. I can say whatever I want because I can back it up. I sacrifice. I train day and night. Got a personal trainer in the morning, and I train at night, and I run every day. Rain, shine, snow, I run.
Wow.
Nobody can say nothing. I say, listen, man, all you got to do is whisper in my ear. You don't think I can do it. And we can go around the back, and I'll show you. You know what I'm saying? I tell cats that all the time. You know? If you don't believe, you know what I'm saying? If you don't believe, hey, you can taste
it. Let me ask you one more question, right? If you had a pick to get in the ring with somebody right now, who would it be?
It really don't make a difference, man. It don't really make a difference. Because once I'm in my zone, all I'm thinking about is what I represent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like I told you, brother, you shot. I said, listen, man, I'm not representing my kids. I'm not representing my barbershop or my homies. They ain't been in the system. I'm representing those who suffered, those who believe in me, those who need me to inspire them. That's who I represent.
Right, so it's a bigger cause.
I'm not doing this for them. I'm not doing this. My kids, they ain't grow up with no foster kids. You know, this is not for them. You can be a fan of daddy. But you don't have to be a fan. I really don't care. I represent who God sent me to represent. And that's it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's it.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? I'll fight anybody. It don't make a difference. What more are you going to do to me?
Right? No doubt. That's real and real right there.
Yeah.
I'm taking blows like they want to pack you. They're getting millions of dollars. I'm getting pennies. I'm taking the same blow, and it's more risk. But you want to know something? At the end of the day, they can say, listen, man, that man gave it his best at his age, and he did it for a cause. Because like I said, once I do it, I put the gloves away, man. I said, I done it. Now you know I did it.
Right.
Now
it's
time for the mess, man. Boxing is over for me.
Wow.
For the mess.
No doubt.
Wow.
So yeah, Rob, so before we get out of here, man, how can people get in touch with you, man? You know, because I know, you know, people out there listening to GQ Palace Sports, we in the building. We going hard tonight, man. We got a real special situation popping off. So how do people get in touch with you, man, if they want to, you know, keep up with you and find out what's going on?
They can email me, rgarris@throwawaykids.net. rgarris@throwawaykids.net.
rgarris@throwawaykids.net.
.net. Or they can hit me on Facebook, Rob Garris, you know. Or they can call me, hit me on the landline. You know what I'm saying? 914-563-9542.
That's the number to the shop. Shout out Macintosh. Oh, that's at the shop? Okay.
That's the store. They can hit me on that.
I have a question for Rob. Hi, Rob.
Okay, I'm listening.
At what age did you start boxing?
I believe I was 13.
13?
13.
Wow. So your main thing is, long as you save another child and let them know that, you know, they can mean something and be something in the world, whether being adopted or not, that's your goal.
That's my goal.
That's
my goal. I mean, I can't change the system. You know, that system is a female system.
Yeah, the system is what it is, right.
Right. And I mean, coming up with Throwaway Kids, was that a name that you came up with, or...
You want to know something? I was reading a paper, and they had an article. Stan and Star was doing an article on the system. And they were talking about throwaway kids, how they throw these kids away after they make all this money. I'm reading the article, and I saved it. I said, the throwaway kids. I said, people don't like the name, but, you know, it's real. Throwaway kids.
Yeah.
I said, in the mirror, I said, my mother threw me away. So throwaway kids do exist, because if you ask anybody that's been in the system, and say, how long were you in the system? They said 18, 21 years. You know, did anybody adopt you? No.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to that? Well, they cut me loose and sent me to welfare. You know what I'm saying? After they put me on me, they just cut me loose. You know what I'm saying? So what is that? A throwaway kid. You threw me away.
Yeah.
So that person accepted how it sounds. Man, listen, it ain't for everybody. It ain't for everybody.
That's true.
As long as a million of people who enter that system, they know what it means.
Exactly.
That's it right there. That's the bottom line.
I'm not running for president. I ain't running for president. I'm not trying to get votes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I represent who I represent.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, your story is a beautiful one, you know, and what you're doing to inspire other kids that's been through what you've been through, I mean, it's just a blessing. And I want to commend you on what you're doing because, you know, you're doing a great job. I definitely want to give you props, you know, and keeping God first is the main thing. And,
you
know, keep doing what you're doing, you know.
I always say to people, I hear what everybody say. My intention is always to do the right thing, but I don't know until the day of judgment. So I go in front of the man, and he said, listen, you did well. You did what I asked you to do. So,
right.
It means a lot to hear it from people.
Yeah,
he's gonna tell me, yo, you did well. You did what I asked you to do.
Right. So yo, once again, man, if you listening, thanks for listening. You know, if you wanted to get in on the line, it's a little late in the day, but it's all good. We got Rob G in the building with us. Anything like the last thing you want to say to the people, man, before we get ready to get out of here, because it's almost time. We don't want to get cut off in the middle of our situation. So any last words you got?
The kids is to anybody. If I can, you can. Believe in yourself.
All right.
You got a lot of walk out here, man. Got a lot of people that don't believe in nothing. You got to stand for something. You know,
because
we all here.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? You know, not just for a season. We're here for a reason. Everybody has a
purpose. Amen. Right.
And everybody. If you get up every day and walk out and breathe this air, you got to make a difference. Because whatever God bless you, man, Allah, Buddha, whatever. At the end of the day, you're supposed to do something for somebody.
All right. So that's, so people can get in touch with you at rgarris@throwawaykids.net. And you can give them the number one more time, man, if you want to.
914-563-9542.
914-563-9542. No doubt. Man, yo, I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Hit me on Facebook.
All right, hit him on Facebook, Rob Garris, at the Facebook situation. Man, listen,
I hope everybody was enlightened, man, and learned a little something and really, really took the story to heart because it's true and it goes down. Just want to thank you, Rob, man, for, you know, shining a little light, man, and giving some exposure to your situation, man. And hopefully, man, we get this fight, man. I'm trying to be ringside, my dude. Work the corner or something.
Next fight?
It's going to happen.
What is your next fight?
I believe it's going to be December 8th in Queens at that new casino. Because I was just there Saturday, and I was talking to a lot of people, giving out my flyers and everything. And, like, three promoters was enlightened what they read. They was like, yo, I want you on my card. And the main promoter who turned me down seen me and, like, walked away. I said, man, I ain't even going to say nothing to this guy, man.
Right.
So many people out here, man, hitting me, you know, trying to get with me. People walking up to me, yo, I seen you on Facebook. Yo, I said, y'all must recognize Apple, man, because there's a million people in here, man. They recognize me.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying, man? They were coming up to me like, yo, I like what you're doing, man. What you're doing is great, man. I want to see you do your fight. You know?
No doubt. Because
the commission's only going to give me one fight. Mm-hmm. He said nobody in history ever came back but Foreman. He did that 25 years ago. He came back after 10 years.
And did he drop Michael Moore? Was that the fight where he dropped Michael Moore?
No. That was
okay.
A fight. Michael Moore was 9 years after he came back.
Okay. He came back.
The people would get it twisted. See, Foreman left in 1977, came back in 87.
Mm-hmm,
right? From 87, he fought all the way up to 94, that's when he beat Michael Moore.
Okay.
And then 96, that's when he retired.
Okay, you know? No doubt. But, man, listen, thanks for, you know, giving people information, man, and sharing your story with everybody, man. And, you know,
yes.
I'm going to keep in touch with you, my dude. You know what I mean? And again, man, just thanks a lot, man. And we know how to get in touch with you. And December 8, 2012, in Cuba, was going down.
He already working that out.
No doubt.
All right.
No doubt.
I'm going to shock the world.
That's what it is.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, see you
Hello?
Here? All right,
yeah,
I'm here. All right. I was about to say it ain't the time yet.
I know.
Yeah, so listen, so we still got a few minutes, so we just want to get into what we do every week. So we're going to pick these three games before we get out of here right fast.
Okay.
You know what game we're going to pick, right? So
yeah,
we already started on that, so Eagles,
Giants
and the Eagles. So I guess I got to be on the spot now since it's about that time. I'm going to go with the Giants.
Okay.
Sorry, T. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
All right.
All
we got the, we're going to cover the Giants and the Eagles. We're going to do New Orleans and Green Bay, the Packers and the Saints.
Okay.
That's going to be in Green Bay. And we're going to do Chicago at Dallas. That's the Monday night game. So we got to cover
Chicago
and Dallas. That's the Monday night game.
Okay.
We're going to cover the Eagles and the Giants. That's the Sunday night game.
Right.
And we're going to cover the Saints and Green Bay. So the Saints and Green Bay, I'm going to take Green Bay in that game. I think they got a point to prove. And I don't know what's
up with
New Orleans.
But you know I'm always going to go against the team that you
Okay, that's what it is.
Okay,
and,
so I'm with Saints.
Okay, and Chicago at Dallas. I don't know what to do about Jay
Cutler. I don't like Dallas, so I'm going with Chicago.
I guess we're going to agree on this one. I'm going to take the Bears. They're my pick.
Okay.
I like them to do some work this season, but and Dallas is really, really suspect. So that's what it is right now.
Right.
So we got the Saints and the Packers. T is going to take the Saints. I'm taking Green Bay. We both agree on Chicago and Dallas. We're taking the Bears and the Giants and the Eagles. We already know T's story. She's Eagles all day. She bleed green and all that. And I'm going to rock out with the Giants. Mike, he called earlier. He said his score was going to be the Giants 35, the Eagles 10.
10.
Kim called earlier.
40.
She said 40-10, Giants over the Eagles. Jeremy checked in. He was like Giants 31, Eagles 14. And big up to Picasso. He was, like, strong with the Giants, 27, the Eagles, 14. So that's what it is, man. I gotta, you know, give respect due to my man Rob G for calling in.
Yeah.
And you know, sharing the story with everybody. T, as we usually do every week about this time.
Okay.
You got any last things before we get out of here?
Yes. Make sure that you tune in tomorrow to Love Fantasy, host Picasso from 8 to 10. Friday, Rich Money hosting Love and Entertainment. Sunday is Spiritual Sunday, host Lavina Polite and co-host Pastor Patricia Hall. Monday, Love, Lies, and Loyalty, host Steph Dallas. And Tuesday, of course, GPS, which is the mayor and myself.
So, yeah, I hope people, you know, took heed to the story. And again, you know, shout out to my man Rob G. And again,
yes,
if you want to get in touch with the brother, he could be reached at his foundation's website, Rob Garris. That's R. Garris at throwawaykids.net. You can get in touch with him. His telephone number is 914-563-9542. Once again, it's 914-563-9542. And he's on Facebook as well, Rob Garris. So if you want to holler at him directly, you can get at him. The target date we're looking at, he said it was December 8th. That's, you know, a couple months away. So hopefully we'll all be getting ready to cheer him on from ringside and make sure it happened for the throwaway kids and all that. I really, really, you know, I've been knowing Rob forever. You know, from way, way back. You know what I mean? New Rochelle, you know, shout out to the Hollow. Shout out to Macadocious. That's the name of his shop. He's the head Mac. You know what I mean? And you know, he's a good guy, man. And really, 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 really opened up and let people know, you know, what he's about and, you know, what he come from and things of that nature. And hope people could really get behind us and, you know, really kind of like show the powers that be that we don't really need them. If, you know, you get a lot of people behind you and to support you, and you could do what you need to do without their help. They'll get on after the fact. They'll act like they was there from the door, but we're the type of people that would be like, nah, you wasn't there from the door, but if you want to help, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? We're going to keep you at arm's length. Like, you keeping us at arm's length right now because he's doing a very, very good thing for the community, and it starts from within. So the community has to, you know, the community already got his back. But now it's just trying to get the powers that be. And even with the story with DMC, you know what I mean? It's like, well, nobody knows you. But you got up there on stage and in front of Congress and really had nothing to say. So, like, you know, what do you say at the end of the day? So, Rob, you know, again, I can't thank you enough, my dude. Thanks for the interview, man. And, you know, we're here, man. GQ Palace Sports is in the building. Check me out during the week after further review and all of that. And I wanted to shout out Wise Intelligent from Poor Righteous Teachers one more time, as I always do, because he got me by one game. You know, everybody was kind of like whack this week. We have the referees to thank for that. But once again, man, you can check us out here every Tuesday night. It goes down from 8 to 10, GQ Palace Sports. You got the mayor in the building. You got TC in the building. Shout out to Rich. Shout out to Lavina. Shout out to everybody that called, Kim, Picasso, Mike, you know what I'm saying? Jeremy called, DJ Diamond. I see you. You know what I mean? And it is what it is, man. So we're going to ride this thing on out. You got me in the building. I'm just going to try to chop it up for the last couple of minutes we got going on here. Hope the referees can get their thing together. Roger Goodell,
exactly.
Man. Dig in your pockets, man. Get that $3 million out your pocket, man. You know what I mean?
And give it up.
Yeah, give it up, man.
So we can have,
you know what I mean?
Games,
so we can have some decent, you know, so we can get mad at the real referees. You know what
right.
I mean? So,
or
once
the
again,
players for making the stupid play.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So calm a whole lot of that down before somebody gets really, really seriously hurt. And then all you're going to be doing is a lot of, you know, backward apologies then. You know?
And it's too late then.
And I just wanted to add on, this week's games, man, there's two teams that have byes this week. So the bye weeks are starting. The Indianapolis Colts and the Pittsburgh Steelers do not have games this week. They're off this week. They have byes. So the bye weeks are starting. So it starts Thursday night, Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens. And you know the deal. Sunday is a full slate of games. And Monday night it's Chicago and Dallas. And then Tuesday night you're back here with me at TC. So once again, my man Rob G., You know what I mean? Great interview. Hope people were enlightened. Hope you learned something. Hope you, you know, found out some things that you didn't, you know, really know. You know, it's never about how old you are. It's about how strong you are and your dedication and your convictions and how you want to kick it. So this GQ Palace Sports, this is the Mayor, and TC, we out. Peace.
Peace out.
Go Big Blue! Go Big Blue!